Bill Reid, he was a Scotchman. He passed away in 2001. He won the Victoria. He was one of the nine men that won the Victoria Cross during the war. And to make a long story short, he, in, what was it, November of 43, it was his 10th mission, and it was a maximum from Dusseldorf, Germany, and it was a ball bearing plant, and they, it was his 10th mission, and they had over 500 to 600 Lank, Halifax, Stirlings in the air to bomb that. And he no sooner crossed the enemy coast than a German night fighter did a rear frontal attack, blew out his whole front windscreen, his whole windshield, and he was cut by the plexiglass. He was bleeding profusely, and because flying at the high altitude, it eventually froze to his face. His flight engineer beside him was hit, was cut up pretty badly, but he went on the intercom, his engines were okay, everyone else was okay, so he decided to proceed with the target. A few minutes later, another night fighter comes around, fires on his aircraft, and this time it does absolutely hell to his aircraft. His flight engineer was hit, his navigator was killed, his radio operator was mortally wounded, and Reid himself, despite being cut to ribbons by the plexiglass, was hit in his right arm. Got a bullet in his right arm. And his whole wind tabs and everything were knocked out. He couldn't control the airplane, like it's going up and down. It's, but now, because this cold Arctic air is, because his navigator is killed, and no one, he didn't have anyone to tell him which way to go to the target, but he followed the main bomber stream to Dusseldorf. He was one of the last guys to drop the bombs on Dusseldorf. Once he dropped it, he peeled off to try and race for home. He got coned by German searchlights, and of course, once they cone you, the Germans, all their flak guns, they try and aim it right at you to knock you out. And he got some major flak hits on his airplane, but he was able to corkscrew out of the light and finally got out of the light and proceeded to the North Sea. He's flying over the North Sea, and he's desperately trying to keep awake because he's lost so much blood. His flight engineer, who's badly hit, he's shaking him, hitting him, doing everything, yelling at him to try and keep awake. But flying along, all of a sudden, his four Merlins start to sputter, and he runs out of gas, and he's lost, and he starts to go down. Flight engineer looks, and because he's injured, he simply forgot he had fuel. He forgot to turn the tanks, so he quickly adjusts the tanks, fires, hits the start switches, and he's able to fire before Merlins, pulls out of a dive before he hits the North Sea. Comes up, and he heads back to England at a lower altitude. He goes off oxygen because he's flying low now. His wounds start to open up. Hits the coast of England, and he doesn't have enough fuel to make it to his base in northern England, so he goes on the intercom, checking for any base that'll take him in. And there's an American B-24 Liberator base. And they said, yeah, come in, we'll take you. Because it's a daytime base, they're not operated for night landing. So they simply, along the fuel, they just dumped fuel and lit it up to kind of inadvertently light up the fuel, the field, landing strip, rather. So Reid comes in and he's struggling like crazy to keep this airplane straight and center on landing. He drops gear. Lank comes in, the wheels don't center, touchdown, and the undercarriage collapses. And he ends up skidding 60 yards down this runway, comes to a grinding halt. Crash tenders come out, they hose down the airplane, and when they come up to the cockpit, they find Reid collapsed in the bloody mess. They figure the guy's dead, he's covered with so much blood. They undo his straps, and when they haul him out, he begins to moan in pain. They realize, my God, this guy's still living. So they put him on the stretcher, take him to the hospital. And he spent over 6 weeks in the hospital, but he survived that, and when he was well enough, his base commander awarded him the Victoria Cross. For bringing his ship and crew home. His base commander, when asked, he came up to him and said, Bill, he said, you know, when your windshield was blown out, why didn't you turn around and come back home? Reid, he was only a little guy. Wispy mustache looked more like a bank clerk than a bomber pilot. And Reid thought for a second, and he said, well, sir, he said, my engines were hit. He said, to be honest with you, sir, he said, thought it never occurred to me to turn back. That's what true courage is made of. That was his 10th mission. He still had 20 more to make 30. And about 6 months later, or 6 weeks, it was a couple of months later, he's flying over England, over Germany one night. Another bomber got in front of him, and it happened quite often sometimes, if he didn't get the timing right, dropped his bombs, hit Reid's Lank, broken in two. Reid is spiraling down like this, Lank is broken in two. Inside the cockpit on the top plexiglass, there's an escape hatch. You flip it open like that. Reid flips it open, undoes his straps, and he's pulling a lot of G-force going down, so it takes all of his strength to pull him out. When he pulls, gets out, he pulls the ripcord, the chute opens, no sooner fully deploys, and he hits the ground. He suffered major spinal injuries. The Germans picked him up. He spent the rest of the war in a POW camp, but he survived and was released at the end of World War II. And he... Yeah, he passed away in 2001, and when he passed away, he was living up in Scotland. And, of course, it was major news, you know, Victoria Cross winner. But he was a totally unassuming guy. He never talked about him. A lot of guys in his own village, when they read that, they figured, my God, had no idea. Because, again, he was one of the veterans who never talked about what he did. But back in November 43, he did a superhuman effort to bring his ship and crew home.